keep that message in mind this morning as we move into our planned message this morning. Because we've been going through Proverbs, and this morning the proverb that we're looking at is Proverbs 28, verse 13. And I want to start just by reading that. It says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." Sin is one of those words in our culture that is really, really misunderstood. And there's a lot of nuance to the original word in the original language. Because I've heard people talk about it as if there's this arbitrary list of things that you can't do because God wants you to not have fun. And so if you do those things, you're in his bad books. But if you avoid those things, you're in his good books. And that's all there is to it. Graydon is my youngest son, and he gave me permission to pick on him a little bit this morning, and he's not here. He and some friends in their small group are away this morning, so we have a little bit of a hole in some of our seats. But he keeps his room pretty messy, and he comes by that naturally. I always did too, but I've always felt that for whatever reason, my kids have started a little bit ahead of me. They, whatever I can accomplish, I believe they can surpass. And when it comes to being to having a messy room, Graydon absolutely surpasses me. He keeps his floor very clean. You don't have to sweep it or mop it or because it's covered with clothes all the time, right? His room is so messy. And, you know, I've talked to him many times, and Graydon has this amazing ability to not hear what I say, but he hears exactly the same thing heard from somebody else. So we had some friends over, and they have a couple of young children, and the two boys were wondering where's Graydon, where's the older boy? And I said, well, I think he's upstairs. He said, can we go? And I said, yeah. So they kind of wandered their way upstairs, and they're looking around, and Graydon opens his door, and there they are. And one of them says to him, "Your room is really messy." And Graydon says, "Yeah." And he said, "Why did you make it that way?" And this blew his mind. Graydon, like, it's almost like a therapist asking you this question. "I made it that way. Why did I do that?" And he couldn't, like, he was like gobsmacked. He's like, I made it this way and I don't know why. And he was working on that. Why do I make it this way? He hasn't solved the problem yet, but he still thinks he's working on the question. So in our lives, there are things that we do, we don't know why we do it, but we look around and we go, we made our life this way. To a certain extent, there are things that other people do that make our life this way as well, but to a large extent, we make our life this way. And that's the context I want to use when dealing with this proverb. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. People who conceal their sins. Now, the word sins there, in many cases in the Bible, that word sin basically means being imperfect or missing the mark or not reaching your potential, which doesn't sound really bad. You know, I'm only human. And at the same time, there's a problem with that because we have this amazing calling and purpose for our life, but when we don't reach our potential, we're falling short. That's not what this word here means. This word is translated from a word that traditionally would say trespass, which means crossing a line or doing something you know you shouldn't do or doing something that is wrong. And I think it's whether it's conscious or unconscious. And what happens when you conceal that, it stays under the surface. The results are there, but it stays under the surface. Regardless of whether other people can see it or not, it's there. A few weeks ago, I mentioned this, I think, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I was dealing with a low blood pressure incident. And so the next day I went and got a blood test done, went to see the doctor and all of that. And you go to the clinic, the Life Lab, whatever, you get blood tests and you go home, and then you never hear from the doctor again. But with Life Labs, you can log in online, you can see the results of your test. And so I did that like a week and a half later, but when I remembered. And everything looked really good, but there was one thing that was high, and I'd never heard of it before. And what was it called? Neutrophils were fairly high, and it was flagged on there. I don't even know what that is. So Graydon is in a biological science medical pre-med program thing. So I asked him, hey, Graydon, my neutrophils were high. Now, and I want to know if he knew what that meant. Now, I Googled it ahead of time so I could be, you know, ahead of him on the game. Google is my friend. And so I said, my neutrophils are high. And he said, well, that means you're sick. I had the blood test on Thursday. I was here on Sunday. I spoke. The next day I came, I was sick. I was sick for 3-4 days. Fever, flu, cold symptoms. My neutrophils were high 4 days before that. My body was already fighting it 4 days. There was something going on that was not yet expressed, but it was under the surface. When you conceal your sins, you will not prosper, because the results will happen. The results will happen. It's kind of like when you conceal something, you're burying it. When you bury something, it can grow and produce fruit. When you bury something, it can grow and produce fruit. You're planting it. And there are two types of things that, when I say, you know, your room is messy, okay? Why did you make it that way? Well, there are things that we do deliberately, or sometimes accidentally, but we do them, that mess our lives. You know, your finances are in a mess. Well, you never had a budget. Okay, so why is your room that way? Because you never had a budget. You could have, you didn't. But there are also things that we see fruit in our life based on what somebody else does to us, right? But when that happens, we have a part to play in that in our response. So maybe you had parents that were less than perfect. Well, that's kind of like everybody. And you can bury resentment and unforgiveness and anger. And you will reap the results of that, because it will grow. And if you hide it, it grows more, because things grow under the ground. When you conceal, you won't prosper. So what's the solution? People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess, when you confess, you're acknowledging them. Here's what confession is. Confession is basically saying, this is true about me. That's all you're saying. This is true about me. And when you do that, when you acknowledge something wrong, whether it's something that was of your own initiative, or even if it's a response to what somebody else has done, what you're doing is you're agreeing with God's assessment of that thing. God says, this is wrong, and you say, okay, I acknowledge, I admit that that is wrong. That's all you're doing. But what it does, it uncovers it. And when it's exposed to the light, it shrivels up and dies. When it's buried, it grows and produces fruit. When it's exposed to the light, it shrivels up and dies. Not always immediately, because sometimes there's a battle. Because sometimes we confess things that we really kind of want to hold on to, right? Although it makes me miserable, I enjoy my resentment. I feel self-righteous in my resentment. When you admit it, when you acknowledge it, it exposes it to the light. Exposure defangs the power of the things that we've done wrong and buried. What does that mean, to confess it? Well, it means to admit it, to acknowledge it. And I think there's two ways to do that. First, to God. You acknowledge it to God. And this is always kind of a funny thing, because it's not like God doesn't know about it. You're not revealing to him something that you know. What you're doing is for your own sake, you're bringing it to his attention to say, okay, it's time for this to be dealt with. But there's another part of that. When you confess to another person, it helps another person participate in that journey. James, in his book in the Bible, says, confess to one another and then you will be healed. If you confess your sins to one another, you will be healed. So it's echoing the same thing. If you don't, well, the implication is you won't be healed. If you do, it creates the opportunity for healing to come in. Because basically, it's like if you... We do... This is my story, okay? Every Sunday in the summer. We've had two stories where somebody told a story about how they had an injury or a wound that was closed up, but there was infection underneath. And the doctor had to open it up and expose it so that it could be healed. You don't expose it, it festers. And it poisons. So when we do this with somebody else, that you have somebody walking along with you. You have to be careful who you do that with. You have to also be careful how you do that, because sometimes people... You ever heard somebody tell you that everything that's wrong with them and everything they've done wrong, and they really seem to enjoy the telling of it? Right? They're flaunting it. Look at how bad I am. They're showing off. And so it isn't just the confession. It says, if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. We don't expect mercy, because in our world today, in our culture, when somebody does something wrong, and if they publicly admit it and apologize, many times people heap judgment on them because they have now admitted doing wrong. That's why politicians don't admit doing wrong, even when they're caught, people in positions of power, because they know that if they admit it, then the judgment piles on. That's why you have to be careful about who you confess to. It has to be somebody you trust. It has to be somebody who has your best interest at heart, not somebody that's going to take that and heap more judgment, because it's difficult to do this. It's really hard. I was listening to a church leadership podcast, and one of the, there's a guy that does like, or an organization that does like data studies, and they put together all this data about churches to try to correlate things, what correlates with church growth. And, you know, we have our things that we talk about regularly across the church. We want everybody to, you know, read your Bible, pray regularly, get involved in a small group. Those are the three things we're kind of all on. And the small group includes that idea of being authentic with one another. But they said this, with all of the factors that they were evaluating when it came to church growth, the one that they were surprised to discover correlated with church growth was the degree to which the church confessed sin. It was surprising. They didn't expect that. And they said one of the reasons we think that's true is because when you acknowledge your own wrongdoing, and we all have that, like none of us here is perfect yet, when we all have that, we are closer to the idea of understanding that God has mercy on me and I have no right to judge somebody else outside the church, and I'm more likely to invite that person to church because they're not going to be coming into an atmosphere of judgment. All of that stuff piled in together. Confession of sin correlates to church growth. That's surprising. I wouldn't expect that. So, in what areas of your life is your room messy? Why did you make it that way? And then what do you do about it? Who is evaluating your fruit? That sounds almost inappropriate. Okay. The things that are on in your life, like how often are you looking in the mirror and going, okay, what is my life like and what am I doing about that? And where is this coming from and who is walking with me to assess that with me? That's important. Otherwise, we're wandering. We're making haphazard choices. We're living accidentally. And then your room gets messy. Who is walking with you and who are you walking with, not to judge but to hold accountable? Who are you walking with where you say, I see so much potential in you, and I want to help you get there? And so, what do you expose and deal with? And we have, when it comes to our relationship with God, I hinted before, there are things we do even subconsciously. And this is not about whose fault it is, but how do you deal with stuff that you've done subconsciously? You don't even know about it. Well, this is why we have to rely on God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And when we ally with Him and allow Him to point out stuff in our life that we need to expose and have dealt with in a safe place, we absolutely must have that, because we've buried things sometimes from years back, and we're experiencing the fruit of it, and we don't even know where it comes from. So confess your sin to God, to somebody you trust. Ally with the Holy Spirit so He reveals to you, whether directly or through that person that you trust, the person that you're walking with, so that we can move forward in our lives and stop living in messy rooms. I have to say, before we close the service, I want to give an invitation, because maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've never given God the opportunity to speak into your life, as you know, Ben kind of talked about. Maybe you've never had that relationship with Him and you don't know how to get there. Well, it's as simple as ABC. And if you're a regular here at Crossroads Church, you maybe get tired of me saying this every week. But let me tell you, over the past 3, 4, 5 weeks, we're getting people to respond to this almost every week now. people deciding to follow Jesus for the first time. So how do you decide to do that? First, A, admit your need for him. You can't do this on your own. We can't self-diagnose. We can't self-fix. We need God's help in this. So A, admit your need for him. B, believe that God has the opportunity for you. And I want to do a sermon series sometime in September, October, something like that, about how this actually works out. But the core of it, the root of it, it happens, it's effected through Jesus' death and resurrection, that he deals with all of that crap, and we can apply that into our life, but we have to believe that this is possible. We put our trust in Jesus. We trust Jesus as the solution for our life. And then C, commit your life to him. Because if you're going to admit your need for God and believe he has a solution, but keep doing your own thing, you're not going to get anywhere. You have to commit your life to him. So if you have never done that before, and you want to go all in with Jesus today, you have to respond. And there's a couple of ways to respond. I think the most popular, easiest way is you find one of those Get Connected cards at the back, put your contact information on it, and there's a box to check, I've decided to follow Jesus today. There's also another one that says, I want to know more about this, and we'll get a hold of you. And you start that journey by acting in response. Now we have 1 minute, and I do have text messages today. Oh, one text message. Two from one person. ABC is, it's an emoji. That's not going to show up when you're listening online. I'm throwing my thumb up in the air. ABC is, not tired of hearing it. That's great, and I hope we never do. Okay, this is really good. Does this apply, this proverb, apply mostly to Christians as we choose to be under God's sovereignty? Also, prosper does not mean by worldly standards of prosper. Okay, so does it apply to Christians as we choose to be under God's sovereignty? Absolutely. Because if you are confessing and looking for healing, the question is, to whom and from whom? Because another human can't heal the hurt. So I think there may be people that are early in their journey and they may not even know they're praying to God, and God is leading them by his Spirit, and they don't even know where they're going, but God's bringing them there. And so that attitude of humility, God builds that in us. Okay, last one. As you said, there can be a struggle after confession, and I think that's where the next part of the verse comes from, in turn from your sin. That's where we need to ask God to strengthen us to overcome sin. Yeah, I know this from experience. You might not think so as a pastor, but that's tough, because we're addicted to the things that kill us. We're addicted to the habits and, you know, our lusts and resentment and bitterness and anger. And we hold on to that really tightly, and we need God's help to let go, because there's a part of us that really doesn't want to let go. But you have to step ahead. Let's stand. We're going to close the service in prayer. The prayer focus, once we're done the service, Theater One becomes our prayer room. And so the prayer focus today is exactly about that. About that confession and desire to change. And so I know that there are people that need to do that this morning. Don't do it by yourself. Invite the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, into the process. And you can pray with a friend or your small group or family member or whatever. And we always encourage people at Crosslands. I mean, I see a lot of new faces. We always encourage people, find somebody you've never met, have a meaningful conversation with them. We just ask that you do that out in the lobby so that this room, immediately after service, becomes a prayer room. We'll have music playing. But there are some people here that are trapped, and the one thing that is keeping them trapped is that, I just need to confess it. I just need to say, this is the way things are, and I need things to change. And invite God into that process. Follow his leading in that. So, Father, I thank you so much that, as Brenda shared this morning, you love us immensely, and there's nothing that we have to do, nothing we can do to make you love us more. But you have a life that is better for us than we might be living right now. And there are things that are holding us back. There are things that are buried. There are things that are producing very negative fruit. And Father, I ask that you would help us this morning to confess and deal with that one thing. Oh, sometimes we just want to pull out the list and deal with 20, 30 things, and we get bogged down. What is that one thing that we need to confess to you this morning that you would deal with? And as you help us dig that up, and it's exposed. We find that we dig up the treasure of what you replace it with. The freedom and the life and the hope and the health. I ask for that this morning. In fact, I ask, Lord, for freedom in the lives of individuals this morning. For victory in the lives of individuals this morning. And Lord, that it wouldn't be a temporary Sunday morning and going back to normal on Monday, but that Monday this would be a new reality. It would be a new life that we are stepping into, a new life that we are living, and that we would experience the full extent of your mercy, your grace, and your love. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.